This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let's start again. The holidays bring to each of us remembrance of things past, the sadness of memories of loved ones at Christmases that'll be no more, yet the happiness of memories of loved ones that we are blessed to hold in our hearts tonight. I acknowledge from a personal point of view, those of us who faced the first Christmas without a loved one who's been called home to heaven. And tonight, in the celebration of Christ entering into our world and desiring to enter into our hearts, is this message of hope that Christmas brings, especially for those who need it the most. Growing up, Santa always came to us on Christmas Eve night. We went to visit our two grandmothers. And when we returned that night, Santa had come, leaving piles of gifts for each of the seven kids scattered in the living room. Each of the kids found their pile and tore into the plethora of Christmas gifts brought for us. A memory that I am sure all of us have of whatever Christmas traditions your family observed as you grew up. This past month, following my mother's death, my brothers and sisters gathered in person and via Zoom to go through some of the treasures that Mom and Dad had accumulated over their lives, given to them by us and by others. And with each drawer that was opened, there would be another item that would bring tears, and then another item that would bring hilarious laughter as each item connected us back to the memory of home. Many items had a personal connection to one of us or another, and so we started to establish piles in the living room of treasures that would eventually be given to each of the siblings as remembrances of our parents and of our growing up together. By the time I left town, there were large piles of accumulated treasures for each of us in the living room. With one last look at that living room, it suddenly dawned on me. This was the same way that living room looked on Christmas Eve when we were kids. Santa had left all of our gifts in separate areas of the room. We had our piles. And for that moment, and that glance at the room cluttered with piles of gifts, I was transformed back to that childhood time of innocence and peace and joy and love and family. In short, in that living room, I was back home again. Tonight's story is truly about a living room. Indulge me for a moment. I want to show you some slides tonight, if we could put the first one up. A Greek word, kataluma. It means living room. It can also mean a guest room or a guest chamber or an upper room. Kataluma is the word that Luke chooses to use for us when he is talking about the birth of Jesus. Next slide. Those of us who are able to go to the Holy Land, we can go to the next slide. And this is the very spot that is believed where Jesus was born. We see the 14 stars that are symbolizing those 14 generations, as we hear in the genealogy of Jesus, a spot where many of us were able to go with the next slide. And the next slide, to reverence that very spot where love came down from heaven. We were also able, if we go to the next slide, to see a similar home to the home where Jesus would have been born, a cave where most homes in that town of Bethlehem were built on the side of the hill. And if we go to the next slide, we see how those particular homes would have been positioned, where there was an entranceway and a living area, and you see in this case a kataluma, an upper room upstairs. We go to the next slide, and we see that in those homes, because the animals were brought in at night for warmth, not only for them, but for the family, and there would have been feeding troughs or concrete mangers, stone mangers, where Jesus was placed. We go to the next slide, and we see another way that artists have depicted what those homes would have been looking like. And if we go to the next slide, you see the actual place where the manger was in the living room towards the end of it, where the animals were kept on the lower level. Why was Jesus born there? Because of the census. They were all required to go back to their hometown. And of course, Joseph, being of the house of David, had to go back to Bethlehem just like everybody else. And so when they arrived, probably the kataluma, the living room itself, the upper room, was already full with other family members. And so for the sake of privacy, for the sake of them having a place to have the baby and to have a place to place the baby, there in that manger, Jesus was placed. Kataluma, living room. So, at the risk of reverting back to Christmas wrap, I want to share with you a little insight that I have had into what it must have been like from the perspective of Mary and Joseph. It's not easy to leave home, even harder to return. Journeys take us far away, isn't quite the same today. What our mind and heart remembers from earlier Decembers are different, we perceive, in the presents we receive. Ghosted by Christmas past, most things we'd like to last may seem lost forevermore because it's different than before. But the home we all desire is not something we acquire. It's your presence we receive. So no matter what we grieve, it's your presence that will guide us from all that can divide us, all the hard times that have tried us, all the good that's been denied us. On our journeys, you'll tide us over till we once again are home. You'll tide us over. A little Christmas humor. Joseph's perspective. You can't go home again, they say, but for me there was no other way. We don't count in their eyes at all, but we dared not ignore the emperor's call. A descendant of David came with a price to pay. We traveled to Bethlehem without a place to stay. From Nazareth to Bethlehem, 90 miles, but the angel had promised it was all worthwhile. We traveled all week, and with a census traveler's peek, the outlook was bleak, a place to stay we'd seek. The family place was full. I had no strings to pull except a pregnant betrothed looking ready to explode. So they offered their abode, family hospitality owed. The living room was taken, but we wouldn't be forsaken. They put us in a stable place, the livestock's normal resting space. No matter what the venue, home can always still be in you. I traveled far and distance, but in this unique instance, I traveled far in mind and heart, and to the end, I played my part. You can't go home again, it's true, but home can travel within you. It's not easy to leave home, even harder to return. Journeys take us far away, isn't quite the same today. What our mind and heart remembers from earlier Decembers are different, we perceive, in the presents we receive. Ghosted by Christmas past, most things we'd like to last may seem lost forevermore because it's different than before. But the home we all desire is not something we acquire. It's your presence we receive. So no matter what we grieve, it's your presence that will guide us from all that can divide us, all the hard times that have tried us and the good that's been denied us. On our journeys, you'll tide us over till we once again are home. Mary. You can't go home again, they say. I've proved it in so many ways. Elizabeth didn't exactly live just up the block. To visit her, 100 miles I walked. And in the hill country was her home, so climbing up through Judea did I roam. Then after 3 months, I walked 100 miles back, now 3 months pregnant, as a matter of fact. Then 5 months later, Joseph says, to Bethlehem we go. 8 months pregnant now, I'd like you to know. It's 90 more miles, Joseph, for God's sake. Precisely, said Joseph, so the journey we'd undertake. Then there's no vacancy anywhere, no Airbnb, no place to have a home for this child inside of me. After 90 miles of travel, I'll settle for anything at all, not thinking we'd be rooming in his family's livestock stall. The baby came, and in this Bethlehem home I finally rested, but just 5 days later, a 5-mile trip to Jerusalem had me tested. A purification rite for me and a circumcision for the child. And now what? Miles again to go back home? I'll show you a maiden meek and not so mild. But there we settled in a little house exquisite, and some magi from the east came and paid us a visit. And just as life was settling down, once more an angel's message came back. We've got to flee to Egypt now, so hurry up and pack. So we went, then came back after Herod was dead. My traveling continued wherever my son, the rabbi, was led. Where he was my home. To the end, right from the start, I treasured each day and pondered them in my heart. You can't go home again, it's true, but home can travel within you. It's not easy to leave home, even harder to return. Journeys take us far away, isn't quite the same today. What our mind and heart remembers from earlier Decembers are different, we perceive, in the presence we receive. Ghosted by Christmas past, most things we'd like to last may seem lost forevermore because it's different than before. But the home we all desire is not something we acquire. It's your presence we receive. So no matter what we grieve, it's your presence that will guide us from all that can divide us, all the hard times that have tried us, all the good that's been denied us on our journeys. You'll tide us over till we once again are home. The one in this nativity who traveled infinitely farther than anyone is the God who came down from heaven this night to enter our world and enter our hearts. Did it ever occur to you that there's no evidence that Jesus ever returned to his birthplace home in Bethlehem? Perhaps because he carried home with him throughout his life. Perhaps because Joseph carried home in his heart. Because Mary carried him in her womb. And because even though the Son of Man had no place to lay his head, he carried home with him wherever he went. And as such, we are gifted to make our home in him wherever the journey calls us to travel. May we all welcome him home into our hearts. Amen.